Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Dick Lehr joins us now in the studio. You know him as an award-winning former reporter for the Boston Globe and author of many books, including Black Mass. He's also a professor of journalism at Boston University. And now he's out with his first young adult novel. It's called Trell. And it's the fictionalized version of a very real and tragic murder that happened in Roxbury in 1988 and a wrongful conviction that followed. And Dick Lehr is with us here. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Meghna.
Hey, so before we get to the book and the YA novel, I'm wondering if you could just remind us what happened in 1988, the true crime and the murder of Darlene Tiffany Moore.
Sure. In the summer of 1988, it was August, and it was this is a period when crack cocaine was flourishing. A lot of violence in this city and in other cities. It was the same in New York City. The Central Park jogger case had come down. So in a lot of sense, people are on pins and needles and whatnot. And on an August summer night, Tiffany Moore was hanging out on the corner of Humboldt Ave in Roxbury, which has some call Heroin Alley, and Homestead Street, with some friends. She'd been away for most of the summer. Her family had sent her away, concerned about all the violence in the city. And she'd come back. She was hanging out with friends. And she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. There was a street gangs were having a beef, and some gunmen came up and started shooting while she was sitting on the blue mailbox, swinging her legs and whatnot. And they didn't hit their intended target, and instead they hit Tiffany Moore. Yeah. And at the time, what was such an uproar was she was 12, and she was the youngest victim of street gang violence in the city's history. Sadly, there have been younger victims since, but you can imagine the uproar at the time.
Yeah, I mean, people wanted justice for this poor girl.
Absolutely, and it also seemed to be the culmination of a summer of violence and sort of mayhem, and there are even people in the neighborhood saying, we need the National Guard. It's more than the Boston PD can handle.
Yeah, I mean, but then Sean Drumgold ends up being wrongfully convicted.
Sure,
how did that happen?
Well, there was, as you just mentioned, there was a demand for justice for Tiffany. There was a huge manhunt in the city, and there was police and the government were under a lot of pressure to solve this crime. And within a couple of weeks, they picked up Sean, a young drug dealer named Sean Drumgold, and a friend, and they were arrested and charged with killing Tiffany Moore.
Wow.
Yeah,
and he was convicted of life. He was sentenced to life in prison.
A year later, there was a murder trial of Drumgold, and he was convicted life without the possibility of parole, which is a death sentence. And I have to say, I remember, I was not covering it, the crime at the time. I was on the Spotlight team.
Yeah.
But I think I felt what I think a lot of people did. There was a sigh of relief. Oh, good, they caught Tiffany's killer. Justice is served. But then it wasn't.
Yeah, but later on, you did through the Spotlight team, right? You covered the terms of his conviction, and that led to it being overturned.
Right. Then we fast forward 14 years later to 2003. I reinvestigated it for the Globe, and did develop evidence that witnesses had been coerced, and he was wrongfully convicted, and led to court hearings. And in November of 2003, I think it was. He was sent home.
So the first and most obvious question that comes to mind, Dick, is that this story, the truth of this story is so searing.
Yeah.
Why retell it as a YA novel?
Well, I'd written about it for an adult audience already in the pages of the Boston Globe. And one of the things, a couple of things came together a couple of years ago, why I undertook the novelization, a novel approach, was that something had stayed with me all these years when I did the original investigation in the early 2000s. And that was, although my focus was journalistic and on coerced testimony and all that, I learned a little bit about Drumgold's family. And I learned that when he was arrested in 1988, he had a newborn baby girl, a daughter named Kiara. And she had grown up with these marking time with regular prison visits, to her father. And I learned that she regularly, if not always, said goodbye with the line, "Daddy, when you coming home?" And that always stayed with me. And so a couple of years ago, you mentioned Black Mass. It was after the movie came out and I had some space and I'd been turning it over in my head. It's like, what about writing for, you know, about these same issues? You know, I see issues in all these stories as a journalist, you know, justice and injustice, and also journalism, the power of journalism. What if I, you know, try to find a younger audience for these, since the stories had already appeared for an adult audience, that sort of resonates with those issues? And I started thinking about, what if the girl's a protagonist? You know, what if she teams up with a reporter from the Boston Globe, and together they, you know, they solve this in terms of looking for evidence to show that her father, Romero Taylor, was wrongfully convicted. And so that was the push. It was like, you know, trying to find a new audience for the same kinds of things we write about in the Globe.
So this is Van Trell Taylor. Who's,
Van Trell Taylor
is the central character in the book.
Which is why it's called Trell, because everyone calls her Trell.
Yeah. Just, actually, I should ask, did you talk to Sean Drumgold before you wrote this about, would he be okay with this?
He sent me a whole bunch of texts saying he is, yeah, because, you know, I did show him the manuscript. Met with him last spring, and also his attorney of many years, Rosemary Scapiccio. I ran it by them.
Okay.
And it was interesting exchange, because on the one hand, he certainly recognized things in the novel, but on the other hand, it's a novel. I mean, there's so much imagined and made up, you know, so.
So I would love if you could read an excerpt from Trell for us, because I just would love to give folks a taste as to how you've done this.
Okay, sure, yeah. Well, let's just start at the beginning. This is at the crack of dawn on a Saturday morning, when Trell and her mom are climbing aboard a bus that's owned by another character from the neighborhood named Big Vinny. Who has put together, bought himself an old heap and fixed it up to give folks like Trell and her mom, Shay, a ride for a regular visit. So I'll just jump in right there. When I dropped into my seat by the window, the morning sun was so blinding I could barely see. I heard Big Finney up front calling out again, "Morning, Glory," his laughter breaking from him like a big wave rolling across a body of water. The bus jerked forward, and a triple-decker outside the window on my left came between the slanted sun and me, meaning I could open my eyes. Just about everybody who usually takes Big Vinny's bus ride was on board. Ma was already talking to Marlon Williams' mother, catching up on their week, with Ma asking if Marlon's great-aunt was feeling any better after the bad fall she'd taken down her cellar stairs. Terrence Jones's grandmother was in the front seat, and today she had brought along Terrence's three younger siblings. I overheard them talking about Terrence's birthday being next Tuesday. He was turning 27. My daddy's birthday was coming up too, next month in July. He'd be 35. The bus seated 20 passengers, and every seat was filled with people like Ma and me, Marlon's mother, and Terrence's grandmother. We were like family, because riding together these many months, years even, we'd all gotten to know one another pretty well, where everyone lived, and who was who in their extended families, and certainly the reasons why we were Big Vinny's regulars. We were all taking the 90-minute ride south of Boston to visit fathers and brothers and uncles in our lives, or, more accurately, missing from our lives. Walpole was our destination. It's the nickname for the state's maximum security prison. It's where Marlon Williams is doing 12 for armed robbery, where Terrence Jones is doing 10 for drug dealing or, quote, possession with intent to distribute, language I wish I didn't know. My daddy, Romero Taylor, Walpole is where he's in prison for murder, where he is sentenced for life without the possibility for parole. Except for one thing, I know he didn't do it.
That's Dick Lehr reading from his new YA novel, Trell. Just in the segment before you came in, Dick, we had this conversation about theater and casting actors of color in roles that are about the lives of people of color. And it's interesting because here now I'm talking to you.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're a veteran, celebrated Boston journalist, but you've written a YA novel in the voice of a young African-American girl.
Yeah, 14-year-old black girl from Roxbury.
Is there...
Who would think?
Right? Is there a concern about, you know, appropriation, authenticity? I mean, the ability for you to capture that voice in the best way possible?
Well, some may question that. What my thinking is, or I was thinking and do think, that given all the years of reporting I've done,
yeah.
in the city in Roxbury and Dorchester, doing all the interviews, covering not only the Sean Drumgold Tiffany murder case, but so many others, interviewing kids and cops and parents and killers and whatnot. That I think my thinking was, if you combine all that research and reporting with imagination, that's how I created, you know, what I hope to be a credible 14-year-old girl from Roxbury. And then the other thing that I thought a lot about this going into it. The other thing is that this is a suspenseful, plot-driven novel. It's not what can be other types of novels, which is deeply introspective, coming of age. I'm not sure I could have gone there. Other writers could, I think, but I wanted, you know, this is about a young girl on a crusade, a protagonist on a crusade for justice who teams up with a journalist, and it, I think, showcases the power of journalism and determination.
Yeah. Well, Dick Lehr is a professor of journalism at Boston University. He's an award-winning reporter and author of many books, including Black Mass. His new YA novel that we've been talking about is called Trell. He'll be at the Brookline Booksmith tomorrow night talking about it. We've got lots of information about that at radioboston.org. Dick Lehr, it is always so terrific to have you. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
And congratulations
nice to
on
see
the
you
book.
Again. Yeah.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.